Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check us out on Five Reasons YouTube before Floor, an hour before every game. Post up 5R actually as we speak. That's going on right now. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. You'll get all of our content throughout the week on all the South Florida teams. You can also find written content on the South Florida teams at fivereasonsports.com. Spell that one out. That does not have a paywall. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. So many of our sponsors are here and local. That includes CPT of South Florida, which has been providing small and medium businesses with the technology they need for decades. They specialize in cloud hosts and phone systems and managed IT. Reach out to TJ. Again, you'll deal with the owner manager here, not with a salesperson. Reach out to TJ. He'll give you the promotion. He mentioned Five Reasons, 25% off cloud phone service, including free phones and the first 2 months of service free. Again, deal with an owner, not a sales rep. TJ can be reached at 954-966-2766. That's 954-966-2766. Or just browse the site, cpt-florida.com. Again, you need a cloud phone system so you can work from anywhere on any device. So again, it's CPT of South Florida. You can find them at cpt-florida.com. And now, tonight's episode. Down to Biscay.
Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. I got Greg Sylvander. You can find him at Greg Sylvander on Twitter. You can also find Brady Hawk at Brady Hawk 305 on Twitter. The Miami Heat lose at the buzzer tonight. Weird game that followed a lot of the script that we thought it might follow, where Atlanta sort of came out stronger. That was something that was anticipated in game three. Miami took control of this game with kind of a masterclass third quarter from PJ Tucker and Bam Adebayo defensively. They got scoring from Butler in the first. They got scoring from Hero in the second. And they got Max Strus having his best game of the series. But they also got a Kyle Lowry injury that we don't believe is serious. We'll talk more about that later, but that kept him out of the fourth quarter. And they got back to the same problems that they've had over and over that we've discussed during the season. We said was going to cost them a game at some point. Let's hope for their sake it's only one, which is that down the stretch, particularly without Kyle Lowry, they don't know where to go with the damn ball, okay? And this happened at the end of the game again, and it turned into Jimmy Butler taking two contested fallaway shots at the end, a consistent problem throughout this season. Wasn't just him, though. Tyler Hero, you know, wasn't great in the fourth quarter. Gabe Vincent was kind of unplayable tonight, which was a bit of a concern, which was one of the reasons they didn't go with a point guard late, other than putting Gabe in on defense. But Brady, I'll start with you tonight because we've discussed the sort of the late game issues and whether it was going to get them. What happened?
Well, I think for one, it was a lot of the things that we've talked about. And I think a lot of that was patched up because they spaced out a lot more in their lineups before when they had Kyle Lowry, they didn't have PJ Tucker closing a lot of these games offensively. And when you don't have Kyle Lowry out there, you put the ball in the hands of Jimmy and it ends up kind of in those jumpers. I said before that final play, I was like, this is probably going to be a Jimmy jumper, but it really shouldn't be. Like, there has to be a play they can get to where they either, if they want to get the ball in the hands of Jimmy, this is something we've talked about, get the ball in the hands of Jimmy, because you have 4 seconds. So you don't have 1.4, you have 4.4 seconds. Get the ball in the hands of Jimmy, try to make a play with him as a driver. If they want to double, then you kind of have a Bam or somebody to slip and try to just get somebody in the middle of the floor to try to hit a shot when you're only down one. But my biggest problem wasn't the final shot, because honestly, I saw that coming in a lot of ways. My bigger problem was the play before that, not the Trae Young floater, the one before the Trae Young floater, where they forced a miss. Now they have the ball. They kind of have control at the end of the game. It looks like everything's looking good. Now they're kind of just going through the motions, waiting until there's 6 seconds on the clock to try to create something. And then it's Jimmy Butler with a wild fadeaway contested mid-range jumper right inside the three-point line that allows Trae Young to go in the other direction. So that's what led to this. Like, in my opinion, it's just not the inbound that should be talked about. It should be that. That's the late-game offense that's problematic. That when I think this team plays for the shot clock too often. Like, they don't play for the best shot. They just say, okay, we're going to create when there's 6 seconds left, and we're just going to get whatever comes. Like, if there's a good shot, especially if you're known to be a team that is not great late game, if there's a shot with 12 seconds on the shot clock and you have an open lane, take that shot. And then you go and play defense that you revolve your team around up 3 points. Like, so that kind of stood out to me. Like, Jimmy Butler had good moments in this game, but just the late game stuff when Kyle Lowry's not on the floor, like, it definitely stands out. And I think also I do want to say, Tyler Hero should probably have the ball there in that inbound. Like, I don't think that's crazy to say either, even though Jimmy hit a pretty wild three, fadeaway three in that corner to get them in that position. 4 seconds left, down one, Tyler Hero needs the ball right there.
I couldn't agree more. I think that there's a couple things. I'm glad that you fast-tracked right to the end of the game, because if you look at overall throughout the game, the Heat got up 13 more field goal attempts. They shot 45 threes. They need to chill. They out-rebounded Atlanta by 9. So there's a lot of things that point to the Heat having some advantages. And to your point, it's like they stopped running offense late. And I think that we are approaching the time where it doesn't need to be that they hand the keys to Tyler every possession late. But I think just the element of surprise, like on the broadcast, I think it was JJ Redick who started out as they were coming out of the timeout saying, well, this is going to Jimmy Butler. Well, we all knew that. Well, how about Jimmy Butler doesn't take that same fadeaway shot, kind of falling out of bounds? It just wasn't a good shot. And I just feel like that there's probably a set, an out of timeout set that you could run to get anyone a clearer look than that was. And I just feel like, time and time again, we see this, and I don't know if it's more Spo just saying, give it to Jimmy and get out of the way, or if it's Jimmy kind of doing that on his own as the play develops.
I'm not stunned that it happened the game after Jimmy had 45. You know, I feel like that plays into this. And it's funny because we were texting during the game, and there's a lot of stuff to get to in this game that was interesting. And we are going to get to it after the break, but we did want to start at the end because the end is what matters. These are playoff games. And we talked about this, like, it's going to cost them eventually. Okay. But we talked about it. Jimmy was a little after the first quarter, and after, obviously, you know, he took the hit early, he was kind of passive for good stretches of this game, but it doesn't matter how passive he is. He's going to grab the reins at the end. And you're right. We don't really know 100% whether it's him or whether it's Spoelstra just deferring to him. And it's like the old Wade thing, and I'll live and die with Dwayne Wade at the end of the game. And even when he said the other day, you know, Dwayne, you know, Jimmy has a lot of those Dwayne qualities. Spo looks at Jimmy like that. But there were other issues here, though. And I'm with both of you guys on both of those two shots, and particularly the penultimate shot, the second to last one. But the other issues here are, you know, they can't get into offense without Kyle in these situations. So it doesn't seem to matter who it is. Tyler was a little loose with the ball again at times in the fourth quarter, which makes it harder to turn it over to him. Gabe was bad tonight. We just got to acknowledge that. Like, he was not good. Like, as good as he was in game two, he was that bad tonight. He was kind of unplayable offensively. It wasn't just the shooting. And so I know what's happening here, and because it was already happening, play Oladipo, but you're not putting Vic in that situation, in that spot, okay? It's not going to happen. So, you know, the option was to get space. Struce was the guy, not Robinson, that was going well tonight. So he was going to play there. But you're right, Brady. It's a weird thing with PJ, because PJ, to me, was their best player tonight. I mean, PJ turned the game around in the third quarter. He also made the critical three from the corner, which put them ahead. So I'm not going to be critical of PJ Tucker tonight. They wouldn't have been in this game without him. But you're right. Down the stretch of these games, he's not the ideal option to have out there. It just gives you one fewer guy that can create something. And then, you know, we have to acknowledge also, and I will do the more of this the second part of the episode, there's no reason to count on Bam offensively in this series. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's not looking for it. They're not looking for him. He's not looking for it. So you weren't really going to run hero Bam pick and roll there. Like, getting Bam involved in the action, like, I don't feel like that was going to go anywhere anyway. Right. So, I hate the Jimmy Butler fadeaways in those situations, but I also say, what were the options? Like, they weren't really running anything, Brady, that was going to work.
Yeah, I think Tyler is kind of the answer to that, like, that he is the option. But I will say, for one, PJ Tucker was the best player probably for them tonight, and that should be said first. But when there's 4 seconds left, I don't really see the reason to put him in there. Like, I understand before that, because he had it going, he had some crucial offensive rebounds, you could do some other stuff with him. But when there's 4 seconds left and he's not a movement shooter, they're going to dip up off of him, and they could probably double Jimmy like they kind of did. I have to rewatch that play again, but there's different things you can do there that it just makes it a lot harder. And I think about Jimmy, it's also there was a play before that, thinking about the PJ Tucker corner three that kind of put them up one. Jimmy drives to the middle of the lane. They double Jimmy because Bogdanovich kind of crossed over to double and wait for him by the rim. He swoops in, kicks it out to PJ, BJ, it's the three. That's when everything works, is when we've talked about this so many times, when it gets into those late game possessions or later game possessions, they don't go to the driving kicks. It's okay. It's just drive. There's no kick. And when there is a kick, it's a drive again and there's no kick. So it's a little bit weird. I don't really know what they could have done, as you said, because Lowry being out changes things, not just as a setup guy, but the thing we talked about is that you mentioned the hero Bam pick and roll. The thing that's worked all series is the Jimmy Lowry pick and roll, because there's just advantages there, as we've talked about. They didn't have an action to really go to. Like, you could go to the Jimmy Bam, but they can go under that screen. The Tyler Jimmy pick and roll is not really a thing you want to go to in that part of the game, because you mentioned Tyler's a little loose with the ball. You're not going to make him try to hit the roller. I think you use him as a scorer, but they just didn't have many options. That Kyle trying to change is that. But either way, there was just some questionable things there that I think we're going to have conversations about all along this playoff run, that there's going to be points when we can talk about having a complete team, complete defense, complete things, but there's going to be points where they don't have a complete closer that you trust with 4 seconds left down one. And that's just the way it is.
All right. We're going to pivot next after the break to the defense, because they played sublime defense for like an 8-minute stretch, but didn't get stops at the end of the game. So I don't want to focus just on the offense here. They gave up too much to Atlanta tonight. Ultimately, we'll talk about that. And also we'll get into the ramifications for the series as a whole, because, I mean, let's just acknowledge it. Whatever you think of the Atlanta Hawks, it's a series now. It's 2-1. And, you know, you wanted to be closing this thing out, because it looks like Philadelphia may close their thing out. Before we move forward, though, I want to tell you about a great sponsor, the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Our friends over at U-Brake Wheel Fix, the wheel repair, refinish, and custom wheel specialist. They offer the big three of all your car wheel needs with over 20 years of experience. They're based for now in North Miami. They're going to be moving to a bigger facility, but right now they're at Biscayne and Northeast 146th Street. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at U-Brake Wheel Fix. That's the letter U, Brake Wheel Fix, or ubrakewheelfix.com. They can do the custom wheels for you with all your favorite brands, and they offer no credit check financing up to $5,000 for a new set of wheels. As I always say, mention 5 Reasons. You will get a discount. The phone number is 305-748-0112. That's 305-748-0112. ubrakewheelfix.com. Say hello to Mark and everybody down there. And again, get yourself a discount, changing the way that you see wheels. Let's get to the defense, guys, because, look, they were down in this game, and then they just, full clamps there. you know, Tucker and Bam in particular defense. And that's why I don't want to, you know, get into like the whole thing again about whether Bam is getting over COVID. I mean, defensively, he looks great. So I, you know, it's just aggressiveness and, you know, usage on offense at this point. But the two of them were unbelievable. I mean, PJ Tucker on Trae Young tonight was outrageous. But they couldn't get stops at the end. I mean, they had their core group out there. I mean, I thought Max played pretty good defense for most of the game too. There was the one kind of, you know, he's going to get foul calls on him when he's guarding Trae. I mean, it's just going to happen. There was the one cheap call down by the right sideline that didn't look like a foul at all to me.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But Trey's going to get some of those. But look, they did the number on Trae again. Like, he didn't hurt them. Bogdanovich hurt them. Delon Wright hurt them at times during the game tonight. You know, if you were to say nothing from, very little from Trae, you know, from a field goal perspective, he had five field goals, I think. John Collins didn't give him anything offensively. And they still, what did they end up with? 109, 111. I haven't checked the final score. So, I mean, they scored enough to win this game. What went on? We'll go to you first in this break. What went on defensively down the stretch of the game?
Well, I want to say that, like, it should be said that a loss shouldn't change the fact that there are good things that can happen. Like, if Trae Young misses that floater, we're sitting here talking about how great their defense was in this game, because it was. PJ Tucker, I had that one play in my mind where Trae Young just keeps trying to cross him and he's just staying there and he keeps turning his body because his feet are just so quick for his size, that he did a good job on him. Bam sent that one double that ended up, he dove for it and went out of bounds and ended up staying with them. But there was good moments they had on Trae Young. The one thing I said on yesterday's Floor Is Yours and today's Before Floor was that if Atlanta won this game in game three, it wasn't going to be because Trae Young had 40 or he had a big game. It was going to be because the shooters collectively played well. And that's what happened here. Like, they have to deal with Trae Young so much, and he still puts so much pressure on your defense, that a Bogdanovich can go 4 of 9 from three and 7 of 17 from the field, which I thought he controlled things well, where he was getting to, if he had Tyler on his back, he was able to get in the post and kind of, he had that one bank shot early. They had Hunter, who had, I think, of that face up he had early where he was just pulling it. Like, they were not, it wasn't even like in my head at halftime when I looked at the stat sheet, I was like, they have to be out shooting them crazily from three. They weren't. I think they had like 5 threes made at the half, but it was just because they were kind of controlling the mid range in general, that it wasn't just the three ball, but particularly late. I don't even think they did a terrible job. That one run they had wasn't exactly late, but that one, I think it was 21-7 run they went on. It's just the way it is. Like, there was a plenty of those shots. The one Bogdanovich three, Bam's in his face. The other one, I think, was Bogdanovich as well. Jimmy jumped out at him. They're just tough shots that guys are hitting. If you're not able to match it, they're a second-rate offense in the league this season for a reason. Like, just because they struggled in the first two games doesn't really mean much. But I think they did a good job on Trae Young. I think they need to clean some stuff up on rotations and just closeouts in general, because there were some moments there. I think of the one where Tyler and Bam flew out to the same guy on the left wing and ended up in a corner three. Like, that type of stuff just can't happen, specifically if you're this good of a defense.
I mean, nobody's really getting hunted. I mean, they're not. I mean, they're protecting guys for the most part. There doesn't. I mean, again, Strus is held up. Defensive rating is a flawed stat, but he came into the game with the best defensive rating on the team through two games, and I thought he was fine tonight. I thought Duncan struggled defensively at times. We didn't see a lot of Duncan in the second half, and they went to Martin for a little bit. But I think that's the one positive takeaway tonight, is that they showed again that they can, when they lock in defensively, you're not scoring against them. And I believe if Kyle finishes this game, they win this game. But I don't want to look past what actually happened in reality. But defensively, Greg, they were fine.
Yeah, and it was really spearheaded by that stretch in the third quarter, because if you look at the percentages, the way that Atlanta finished the game, They had been below 30% three-point shooting in the first two. I think the first game may have been like 27% from three. And they got up around 37, 38 tonight, which would basically lead the league. So they, you know, they got that right. And then they shot over 50% as well. So while they had that stretch where they created, the Heat created separation in the third quarter, I think that then you saw Trey, you know, get a few easy buckets, not easy buckets, but that floater, et cetera, where he's now 6 of 14 for the game. It doesn't look as bad as some of the other shooting nights that he's had. So it's just funny how these lightning in a bottle, quick stretches, you know, that 21-7 run that Brady alluded to earlier kind of made the defense not look as good as it did for spurts in the third quarter. And I think, like, Ethan, you touched on this, like, that the Heat likely wouldn't have squandered that lead had Kyle been on the floor. And I couldn't agree more. Like, that's the kind of thing where Kyle getting to settle them down and getting them into offense is something that they just didn't have. And I think that as we look forward to Sunday in game four and going forward, Kyle's availability in the short term is going to be something that we're really going to need to watch. Cause if he's not available, it changes the math on this series in terms of what Miami's going to do offensively, because of just like when the avalanche of threes come or the runs happen, how do you get the team settled? Who does that? Who is the quarterback, et cetera?
And that's why I said before the game, don't play with your food, because you don't want to end up in a situation here where you got to play more games than you need to. And now all of a sudden you've got an adjustment that you got to make that potentially that's a critical adjustment. You're playing in less than 48 hours now. And, you know, this is, you know, instead of a situation where you're up 3-0 and you basically could have told Kyle, take it off regardless, you know, and we'll deal with it. Now you need a different plan. We're going to talk about what that plan might be if Kyle's out, and we don't have information that he's out. He was back on the bench. Our information is that the injury is not serious, but you don't know. He's in his mid-30s. You don't know what swells overnight. We believe it's an ankle. They describe it as a leg injury, but we'll...
I just wanted to cut you off and say that Spo said after the game that all we know right now is that it's a hamstring. I do not know the severity of it. We will find out more tomorrow. So
wow, it's a hammy. Okay, well, that's a different situation. And we've seen...
That's much more delicate, Ethan. Like a re-injury on a hamstring can happen so quickly. So they're going to be careful here.
So, all right, so let's discuss it. What are they going to do next? All right, before we do, we want to tell you about another great sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. Brady's appearance is here on Five on the Floor, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein. You can find him on Instagram at Ask About Me, I Got You. That's Ask About Me, I Got You. He's a personal injury attorney. He's from down here in South Florida, went to St. Thomas University. If you've got a slip and fall, if you've got a car accident, medical malpractice, he can handle all that stuff for you. He's got, again, more on his IG page, which explains the kind of work that he does. Eric, also a huge Miami sports fan. And like I said, just check out the IG page because it's entertaining. But he works really, really hard for his clients. He grew up in a personal injury law family. The law office, again, of Eric Matthew Rubenstein, specializes in personal injury law, car accidents, slip and falls, medical malpractice, and more. You can reach out to him at 954-829-ERIC. That's 954-829-ERIC, E-R-I-C. Not spelled like the Spolster way, but E-R-I-C. Or again, at Ask About Me, I Got You on Instagram. I love it because Eric's told me what his position was. He quantifies himself as a stretch four, which he's built a little bit like PJ Tucker. So I'll get into that with Eric the next time that I see him. All right, so what next? I mean, it's a series. You know, I don't know that it's a particularly stressful situation because you still got a one game lead. You still got games 5 and 7 coming back home, but you do have Philadelphia on the other side of the bracket, 3-0 in their series against Toronto. They're dealing with their own injury now in Embiid, which looks like a pain management issue, but you never know how that's going to work. But let's look at it this way, Brady. Let's say Lowry can't go on Sunday. The default move has been to play Gabe Vincent as a starter. I would anticipate that would stay the same. Does that mean we're going to see Victor Oladipo?
I think it does. And I haven't been one of the people that's kind of been on that wave of saying that that would be next up specifically, because I thought Caleb Martin would be playing in this rotation fully healthy before the series. But I think a lot of the things we saw in this game about Kyle Lowry is that they need an extra creator. And Victor Oladipo can provide that. I think the other day at practice, Eric Spoelstra just said there's going to be positions where Oladipo and Morris can be used. And I think that's true. And I think this is that instance. I don't think Oladipo's shown that he could drop 40, that it is not a problem with him as a player. We've talked about it, that it's more of a fit thing. They have enough creators. The role players fit in well with the guys they have around them. But when you're without Kyle Lowry, that changes the equation a lot. That I think Gabe kind of plugs in there. I think they probably roll Tyler Depot. Maybe if they want to go a little bit more defense, maybe they go Caleb over Duncan, as we saw a little bit tonight for a quick stretch. And they end up bringing Duncan back in anyway. But I think that would be interesting because I know it's early, but I can't see Lowry playing Sunday, if I could be completely honest, in my opinion, just because that's the way hamstrings are. Like, it's just hard. I know he's going to push the play, but with a hamstring, just hop right back into a game four, it's just hard to see that. And I think you're also unwilling to totally make that push when you have a guy in Victor Oladipo, a former all-star, number two overall pick, that's sitting there, that's waiting to be used. I think he could be useful, but then not to look too far ahead, but I know it's going to happen. If that does happen, he has a big game and then it's all rotation talk all over again. But either way, I do think that's kind of the next man up.
I mean, the fans want it, Greg. Not that that's the reason they're going to do it, but I mean, that this is why you were getting him ready, right? Like, I mean, no,
that's true. I still don't know that Lowry being out is going to mean that Oladipo slides in, and maybe I'll be totally wrong, but I just don't know that that's the guy that replicates anything that Kyle does. So I think they're going to have to get more creative than that. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll just transfer the ball handling and facilitating duties to others, get Depot on the ball more and do things that way. But I think that this is something where you kind of got to band-aid it for now. And it's going to mean more Jimmy and Tyler handling. And maybe that'll be a good thing for Tyler, because he looked better tonight, sharper tonight in certain respects. And I agree with Brady. Like, this is the thing. The early indications, the text message I got was, you know, that they don't think it's serious. But that's the thing with these hamstrings. It's like, you don't know how you wake up tomorrow, and you don't know how it responds the minute you start running full speed or something like that. So, like, while not being serious now, it doesn't mean that I think he'll be necessarily ready to go Sunday. And they're going to be cautious because of the risk of re-injury is kind of how I'm absorbing that, with no intel further than what we got during the broadcast.
Well, the one positive here is they had a significant winning record with Gabe Vincent as a starter this year. So they have played this way. They've played without Kyle. The problems without Kyle have not been starts to games. They've been the closes of games. That's really the issue. Like, Gabe starting is fine. They'll be fine with Gabe as a starter. The problem is how you get through the final 4 to 5 minutes, because if you're not going to have Gabe playing those minutes, that means, again, we're going to have this same conversation if the game is close about Jimmy or Tyler at the end and who has the ball and who doesn't. And it still feels to me, in a lot of ways, as much as there's been improvement and as much as we've talked about, you know, the Jimmy Tyler pick and roll and all the rest of this stuff, that they're taking turns in those situations. It's not fluid. It's one or the other. And I think for Heat fans liking, it's maybe too much Jimmy, but they've got to figure, if they're going to win a championship this year, for all the other stuff we've talked about, this has been issue number one. They have to figure out a way to close these games. And they have not been able to do it without Kyle Lowry this year. Even if Kyle's not handling, it's just his presence on the floor as a release valve, as someone to settle them. When he's not there, it's just like everybody's running free, or they're standing alone free. Okay, is what they're doing, and it just, there's no rhythm to it. There's no functionality to it, and we saw that again tonight. So it's the close of the game I'm concerned about. It's not the start. I do think we're going to see Vic. I think we're going to see Vic if Kyle doesn't start for small parts of the game, probably when Jimmy's not in. It's not because they don't like each other. It's just because of duplication. I think you'll see Vic in there maybe with Tyler to create, you know, some actions and take some of the burden off of Tyler. I don't think you'll see Vic at the end of the game. The end of the game, they're going to have to solve this. Jimmy and Tyler, they have to solve it. I've given up on Bam being a part of this at the end. until I see it consistently,
not this series.
It's not happening. It's just not happening. And I know we wanted it to happen, but it's just not happening. All right. Thanks to our sponsors, ubrakewheelfix.com, cpt-florida.com. Our friend Eric Rubenstein, find him at Ask About Me. I got you. We'll do some kind of an episode on Saturday leading into Sunday. Also, we do have a watch party. We're not canceling it. I know this is going to upset people. It's a Quarterdeck and Davey on Sunday night. We'll be out there starting at about 6:30. So, I mean, it's not our fault.
Just blame me. All of our listeners, yes. I know you saw me on Twitter being very sarcastic tonight. Blame me. Don't blame Ethan. No jinx BS. Come to me. It's okay. I can take it.
There you go. All right. We got the guts. All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.